on the first agenda item is Pledge of Allegiance.
Does spotting work?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So move.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Is there any public comment today? I don't know that we had a sign-up sheet there.
We do, and it is currently blank.
Blank. No public comment at the moment. Consent agenda. These are routine matters that are enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion unless a commissioner requests separate discussion. We have the approval of one regular meeting minute, one special meeting minute, and approval of warrants, which were mailed out to us earlier. Walt, you have any comments or corrections?
I didn't get a chance to give the warrants a good look because we got them kind of late, but I think they're okay, you know, and if there's any questions, I can ask them afterwards. So okay. I move we accept the consent agenda.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Financial report, Juanita.
Did you guys all get a chance to look at the financial report?
I did.
I really did not get a chance to review them.
You want to take a minute?
But it's not, if you just give me, are there any major variances that you want to go over with us?
I guess just the page 3, as far as the 5 months of expenses, it all varies, of course. But the one big number that cuts out to me was the consulting fees. That's all Heartland, which is going to be reimbursed with the grant.
Okay.
And then the computer expenses one was the firewall that we purchased.
Sure.
I'm sorry, was that?
The firewall system that we got for our network and our server.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was noticing that on our revenues, the user charges and the fuel sales are quite a ways out. Jim, is there any observation on that other than just it's part of fuel sales that prices are lower now, so our gross is lower?
But it's very cyclical, as you know. Like today, you couldn't get into the fuel dock because the boats were lined up to get into it. So as summer approaches, we'll sell 2 to 3 times as much as we do in the winter. But certainly lower fuel prices do account for a lower number. And we just lowered our prices again this morning because I did a survey of all the marinas around, and we were one of the highest fuel places. So we want to make sure that we maintain our margin, but we don't outprice the market. So we lowered them with 20 cents, I think, this morning.
25 cents for unleaded and 20 for diesel.
Yeah. So that gets us in line with Paulsboro, which is kind of right in the middle. We're not Edmonds and we're not Brownsville, but we're kind of right in the middle.
I think Edmonds is probably our principal competition for large sales for boats going up and down the Sound. So as long as we're underpricing them significantly.
I think you're going to find in the next 3 months we'll make up a lot of this revenue.
Okay. One thing I'm trying to find where it was sort of back in the details, but and then I forgot to go back and look. The electricity charge, it's jumping up there. Is that just rate increase? Rather than consumption, or
I think it is.
It's about $700 a month over 5 months, is my.
I don't know. I know they're going to talking about increasing electricity again, from what I hear with the Puget Sound Energy, and I'm gonna try to call and see how they would like to, how they rate us as far as consumption goes. There's different tiers, and of course we have the property, which is a rental, so that's different tiers compared to all the dockage, compared to the parking lot.
And so what we see here is the total of all
the
of them.
The total of everything.
So okay. The dockage is a pass-through mostly, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
So it does, it's not a real cost necessarily.
If you look at if you look at page six, you see we took in $21,000 in electricity income, and we spent $26,000.
I'm thinking it's like fuel. We buy it and then we sell it. Right. We sell it. So that number can be a little deceiving.
So now some of that is our parking lot lights and things that service just the marina, but we recoup a lot of that $21,000 from our tenants. Mm-hmm.
So I know I got electrical bill.
Yeah, and I was just thinking there's a lot of different pieces to that, and we get one number. I'm not sure it's worth the Juanita's time to break it out for us.
No.
It's
just,
but
I hadn't thought about that this is the one number for everything.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis keeps complaining how the auditor makes them not talk about the net, but the gross, and how unrepresentative that is. But I guess we're stuck with
that.
But
a case in point is we pay for all of the lights on the dock. So to break the lights,
the little ones.
The lights on the dock versus the power that's going to the boats, it's pretty hard to break those two costs out.
Yeah. Kind of de minimis, but yeah, I get that, especially the, okay.
And the profit and loss class that I do at the end of my report, you can see where each electricity is going to as far as the rentals and the mortgage and marinas.
Okay, so we have that.
So we do have that, all right.
This is just the CPA's run of it.
When's Dennis going to be here?
Next month.
July, yeah.
I'd like us to address, if it's okay with the other commissioners, what our end of year standing is. Are we in the red with some contingent liabilities of litigation costs and such? And we've had some new stuff, like we got to replace some of the dockage at the launch ramp. So I'd kind of like to get the picture of what do we have to do to stay in the black for this year, or how much in the red are we going to go? And I understand the current mortgage is sort of its own little thing because it's funded. So take that money out of it. So it's not really ours, so to speak. We're borrowing it. But to look at mid-year review of is the budget still executable and staying in the black, or do we have to consider?
And that would involve taking things like the capital expenditure on the roof, on the covered mortgage, out of that equation because it's not an income.
Well, it's a separate, it's funded by a loan.
Right.
You see, so, that I see that as sort of a separate thing. So
you're wanting to find
everything else.
Just sort of an operating number.
Yeah, I mean, what's our contingent liabilities and, what do we, because we've had some things come up.
Yeah, and our net loss for the year is pretty substantial, but when you take the capital assets and the litigation out of it, it looks a whole lot less intimidating.
But you still pay it.
I'm
thinking about, do we need to tighten our belt to stay in the black or not? And anyway, I just kind of like to do an end of semi-annual reconciliation of already. Typically a budget is something you adjust as you go along.
Let me picture where we are. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
I have no other questions.
I have no other. It's getting to the point in the year where we can start seeing things a little bit better, and I think your chart where it shows, I think, like 41.6% of the year has gone by now, so that's very helpful to see where things are.
Oh.
Okay.
So that is the
first action item. Is the Marina Host Services Agreement. Jim, would you like to give just a background summary on that?
So over the last year, we've observed, and actually it's been observed for a lot longer than that, the need for some presence in the marina after hours. We have cameras. Matter of fact, last night, I don't know if you saw our lawn this morning, we had somebody drag race across our park last night. Things happen at 2 in the morning. And they tear up things. The LIVA boards have done that service for us, and they've been very good about alerting us. One of the things that I've had before in previous jobs, and other marinas do, is they have what's called a host program. And that host program is one of the tenants in the marina that actually gets a stipend, if you will, off their bill, which makes them a de facto employee. But they're the eyes and ears of the port after hours. So when we leave at 5 o'clock, it's well known that if you check into the marina at 6 and you leave by 6 in the morning, you have free moorage. So this will, it'll help us with that transition to know what's really happening in the middle of the night, where somebody can go and offer people assistance and going up to self-check-in. It'll help us to keep our Toth property open a little later for the community to enjoy. Right now that closes down at 5 o'clock. This person could actually lock it up at 8 o'clock at night on his last walk through the property. So there's a lot of advantages. What this does is it, when I was in Port Townsend, we stole this from state parks. And then after we redid it in Port Townsend, we stole it from there. So this the start of this actually started with State Parks RV Campground Host Program. And it outlines rules and regulations as far as what we expect of the person, what we don't expect of the person. We don't expect them to engage. We expect them just to be eyes and ears. And we would be offering a stipend of $100 off their moorage to do this. So the document that was passed out last week does two things. One, it's the rules and regulations for that host of what we expect and what we don't expect. And then the other one is the actual agreement that we would sign with this person. You have now both Commissioner McIntyre and Elliot have responded with changes, and Sam has done a track changes and distributed that this afternoon for you to look at. I certainly understand, since you haven't had a chance to fully digest this, if you want to delay this vote, but we wanted to get all the input we could today so that we can start the process. Right.
Okay, so I would like to defer the vote, because Mary's not here for one reason, and also I didn't see your track changes thing yet, and I was trying to bounce those against the comments, and I need to know how they've been reconciled. Some of them I think are significant, some are just opinions. So I'd appreciate deferring the vote until maybe a Tuesday meeting when we want to put it on the agenda. But, you know, I appreciate all the work you've been done. Yeah. And I did the same thing. I bounced it against the host park people. So yeah. They were, you know, those are good programs. So I appreciate your work. So I propose we defer the vote.
Yeah, I have no problem deferring the vote. I would like to read through the what I always called a red line, even though it's in blue. I did have a couple of questions from reading the version that was sent out with our packet earlier. One is, even though we specify hours for 7 days a week, whoever the camp host is really only going to be working 5 of those days. That leaves it open to the same kind of abuses we've had before, but at least we'll have 5 days out of 7 covered. Is that the idea?
Yeah, we, again, going back to my experience in past jobs, we tried for 7 days, and it was tough because the people need to take off some evenings, they want to go somewhere. So we found it better to have 5 days in. You know, you just try not to have those days over the weekend. You know, have the days off on Tuesday, Wednesday, or make them flexible where 1 week they're Tuesday, Wednesday, 1 week they're Thursday, Friday. So that people don't know that, oh, the camp host is gone this week on Tuesday, so we can do anything we want.
Right.
So, again, that's something I'd like to negotiate when we get somebody on board to find out what their schedule's like and how we can work together to provide 5 days of service for us.
Yeah, I'd like to see this get in place as soon as we can, because I think there's a substantial need for it. One other thought I had in, again, looking through the materials that Sam sent out earlier, in the agreement, the actual agreement itself, there was a paragraph specifying the term of the agreement, and I'll just punt this to Carolyn. That seemed to me inconsistent with the idea of terminable at will by either party.
Yeah, I have a couple of red lines that I'm happy to share. And I agree that termination should be, if the court wants to terminate, they should have the ability to terminate immediately.
Mm-hmm. And if we specify a term, that sort of invites the argument that I get another, you know, whatever credit.
Right. Yeah, I guess you have to have a start and stop date for any kind of an agreement. But we'd add language that would say unless otherwise terminated.
Something to, yeah.
Yeah, it says in paragraph 6, this agreement is terminable by either party for any reason.
Right.
So, but we can certainly beef that up and hopefully Carolyn can help us with some verbiage.
I can understand wanting to have a commitment from a person, but to make sure that we're not somehow bound by an inconsistency or at least invite an argument that we're inconsistent.
I had a couple comments, and I don't want to take up too much time on this. The one thing, Carolyn, the question was, if we do a background investigation, can we hold those investigations confidential? I saw some provisions under the RCW that might justify that. But I think if, you know, if there is a post boat, we do an investigation, there should be some protections against that investigation becoming a public record or a releasable public record. And I didn't know if, I mean, I'm not too hung up on it, but it seemed like the right thing to do.
Absolutely, yeah. And so we'll either confirm, and it's my recollection just sitting here, that there is that exemption under public records. But if not, we'll have a third party do it and keep it.
And just let us know if there's anything that could.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah.
Okay. Another thing is I'm a little concerned about having very clear documentation on training and expected actions in emergencies and information available to them. I remember seeing that that briefing on the fire in Lacana, where some volunteers got people out of the boats, but that's a very scary scenario. And I can see that one have gone sideways where people. Actually, the person briefing almost got caught out at the end of his dock. So I'm very kind of sensitive to, probably that's about the only emergency. I mean, there is a person in the water and that sort of stuff. But so there's a little concern there on what they do and what they don't do. And so we don't find ourselves in a situation where we have a host who's exposed us or themselves to injury or liability.
Yeah, so. Somebody was trying to be helpful, but they got themselves caught in a bad situation.
Yeah, it's just a little, it's a sensitive area. I mean, I realize it probably won't ever happen, but the idea is if it does happen, are we covered properly? So those are kind of some of the more litigious areas I was concerned about. Great job on working this thing out. So.
You know, the other thing I'd add is, a couple of things, is that we want to clearly designate that they're not employees. Saying it explicitly. I know you've got a lot of good language like that. So, and just some on the tort liability and maybe consider some kind of a waiver.
So what are they? They're not volunteers either. We're giving them money, real compensation.
Contract
actually,
labor.
I was going to suggest we delete compensation because that is a word that you know lends itself and instead use the word credit because that's what it actually is. So.
Well, it came up with L&I. And when I looked up L&I, if they got anything of value, then they were subject to workers' comp.
Workers' comp.
So does that make them employees?
No.
Okay. So they can get workers' comp without being employed.
Correct.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Legal lingo.
I don't have any other things
to quibble on.
Well, all good points, and I think it's a great idea. We just want to make sure we do it right. Okay, anything else on that that you want to add, Jim?
Nope.
Okay, moving along our master plan revisions, part 3. I see we have new homework assignment. And this will be the third of, what, there are about 8 that we really need to work, is that right? So we're getting to halfway?
Halfway.
Okay. But that raises a question of what you were saying. I overheard you talking with Sam before we started. How much of this is constructive for us to spend time editing history? And how much would you rather we just sort of left it to you to rewrite the history, to bring it up to date, and we focus on other things?
Well, you know, as we submit these sections in these meetings for the Commission's review, it's those items that you see, okay, this is something that we can't provide comment on, we can go ahead and update this. Those items that are left,
left alone in the common space will be, you know, reworked and consolidated properly for that, you know, midway submission for the next meeting, so that we've got something good to work with and we see what our updates are. And that will also give you the first, what is that, first three sections, first three parts to go over with that updated plan for 2018 moving forward.
Yeah, because this deals largely with the survey results
that
was done in 2012.
Right.
So there's not a lot to.
Yeah, it's a snapshot taken in 2011. So now we're 2017. That snapshot is past history, and the goals and objectives of that plan, you know, that's history. And now we're going forward. So that's a lot to comment on. The economic data is 20,000, 2011. So I don't know how much you want from us.
I think what I'm looking for, certainly you're right, this isn't data that you're going to manipulate. This is state and county records. What I'd like you to do is look at the categories and say, wouldn't it be nice if we knew about how many registered voters there are in Washington? Other just ideas that you might have that could go in here and beef up what we're talking about. Or there might be some stuff in here on housing that you really don't care about and you want deleted.
Okay.
So just kind of major categories. I'd like to see more of this, less of this. That would be very helpful.
Okay.
Okay.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other comments or discussion on the master plan?
I think we'll need a process when we start talking about projects and things like that.
Yeah.
That may be a little broader than what we're doing in this part of the plan. And of course, Heartland will report should be helpful.
That's
there.
Right.
Yeah.
Update on the Kingston Express, Jim?
Well, I've done three calls now with no answered call, so I don't know if we've scared Mr. Roloff away, or he is dealing with the weather patterns in Louisiana. So until I hear from him, I did get a hold of him just as the tropical storm was hitting Louisiana, and he said, I'm too busy right now, I'll get back to you, and that was last week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you convey any kind of a counteroffer to him, or just say we wanted to talk?
Okay. So we talked, you know, his comment was positive. The $300,000 offer that he made is not set in stone, and he would consider other things. So it wasn't a, no, we're not interested. Probably one of the biggest things that he was not happy with is the fact that there's no current certificate of inspection on the boat. He, I believe, expected us to have kept that certificate of inspection, but it in fact expired in 2015.
Hmm.
So I've checked with my friend Pete Hankey, who does this all the time for a living, and Pete says it's about a $7,000 to $10,000 hit to do that, because everything has to be recertified on the boat. So at least I have a number of what it would cost this gentleman to do a new COI on the boat.
And that doesn't, that assumes no corrective action.
Right. That's
so there could be.
Mm-hmm. Life rafts have to be recertified. All the other stuff needs to be, navigation lights have to be updated. But Steve, who's our mechanic, seems to think that the boat's in pretty good shape.
How long is the COI good for?
It's normally good, I believe, for 4 years, but I'm not sure. Yes, 4 years, because it expired in 2015.
Anytime it expires, does it have to go through the whole new inspections, or is there a renewal
so
process?
Staff was smart enough back then in 15 that they, what they did is they put the boat in layup status. So with the Coast Guard, if you look at our COI, it says it's a valid license, it's just in layup status. So it just has to be recertified. So it would be a Coast Guard inspector coming out, going through everything, checking the boxes, and moving forward.
Sounds like something we should do. Because it sounds like we're going to have to do it either sooner or later.
Well,
and if it's good for 4 years,
it's only
the boat's not still here in 4 years.
It's only good for the body of water you issue it in. So right now we can only inspect it for Puget Sound, and if in fact it's going to Louisiana, it would have to be redone anyway for Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. So
it's almost better to give the gentleman who wants it a credit of $10,000 and say, this is what it's going to cost you to recertify it wherever you want to recertify it. because I thought that same thing until the Coast Guard inspector mm-hmm. said, got to go through the whole thing over again if he goes to Louisiana.
It's movable now, though.
Yeah.
So we don't need to upgrade the COY for him to move it out of Puget Sound.
Just for paying passengers. So okay. a crew can move the boat anywhere they want, but if you're going to accept payment from passengers, you have to have a certificate of inspection.
So he'd have to spend that money anyway if he takes it out of Puget Sound.
Right.
Probably wherever he buys a boat, unless it's Louisiana.
Yeah.
Or a Gulf.
Gulf, Alaska, anywhere.
The good thing is again, Pete knows a lot about this. He believes there's a Solus on the boat. Because it used to do the Victoria run,
mm-hmm.
they had an international certificate, if you will. If the boat moves to Louisiana, that provision could be lifted, and so it might be a little cheaper if you don't do the international part of it.
Hmm. Okay.
If we did a CO, yeah, okay, I hear you. So we just sit back on that one. We're not close enough to, and who knows what the Marshall Islands has.
They said that they would be happy to take it as a donation for their church.
Oh, okay. I hear that. How about, so theirs is a no?
Yeah, theirs is, they wanted it donated to their church that we could get a tax write-off, and I informed them that that probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah. We don't pay taxes, we collect
right.
taxes.
Okay.
So that's a dead horse. Is the Black Boat still out there?
It is. So he called yesterday, the Black Boat, and they want another month. So I granted them another month, and it's good money for us. So
yeah, they're making up some of the shortfall.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on the Kingston Express? Old business discussion on an update on the Welcome to Kingston sign.
This is truly pretty exciting. I'm having a lot of fun working in that group. The group met last week, and this is the group that's putting the rules and regulations together as far as who can post, how long they can post, how much it will cost, and writing the rules and regulations for it. We also got an update on where we are in the process. The contract was issued to Hanson Signs out of Paul's Boy, the main office. The sign is ordered. It's going to take 8 weeks to be delivered. They're hoping to start clearing on the corner of Lindvall in the next 3 weeks. Commissioner Gelder stepped up to the plate and pushed the clearing permit through, and the county is actually paying for the permit fees. So, which is really nice that the county is actually partnering with us on this. So everything seems to be going forward, and we're hoping the sign is installed mid-September, fully operational October 1st.
Any agreement to put a Port of Kingston logo on the sign?
Not yet.
Okay.
But we did talk about all the agreements because, as you know, part of the deal with this is we have to remove the other Welcome to Kingston sign that has the Kiwanis and Rotary logos on it.
Which one is that?
The one up on the hill, just before you come down to Lindvall. It has, you know, the one, the lattice.
50 yards the other side of where this one will go.
Okay.
And most of the service clubs have on their welcome signs a little Kiwanis.
There's a VFW one on
right.
there, too.
So we talked about logos and how we're going to deal with that. Nothing's been dealt mm-hmm. with on that yet.
And we're still anticipating on having some landscaping responsibilities there, so it reflects well on
we're not going to do
Ray's expertise.
The garden club's actually going to do it.
Oh. Okay.
However, we Good. Would be in charge of maintaining it.
Hmm.
And Ray's fine with that.
Okay. The garden club is actually going to do the work?
That's what they told me at the meeting. We'll see.
Yeah, they're an older group.
We'll see.
Just nothing against them. It's just that they typically, you know, other, like Kingston, there's a beautification committee. Mm-hmm. They tend to do more of the landscaping maintenance, but okay.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any public comment on any item we've talked about, items on the agenda or otherwise? Mr. Strickland?
I have been watching this boat sale business, and it can almost, with the size of your port and stuff, It's almost like what we used to call a sparrow fart. You can't notice it. I can go out and buy a new 28-foot boat, and I'm going to pay $325,000 for that. Just a 28-foot Grady White type fishing boat. You're talking about a $300,000 item that's costing you like crazy to keep there, or you could give it away and be better off. Even if you gave it away, you got to get it in your head that it's stopping you from opportunity. I think you might see a little bit of that opportunity when you've got that other boat paying, what, $300 a month?
$300 a day.
$300 a day. You can see that opportunity. There's plenty of opportunity. I get calls all the time from people that have these big boats and want a place to put them. Some of them are commercial, some of them are private. Ideally, you'd get a commercial outfit wanting that space out there, and you're talking about enough money to probably pay for that boat in about a year. You know, and it'll bring people to the community. It'll increase business and stuff. Where sitting out there, it's just an eyesore. You know, I think you ought to really be aggressive at getting rid of that thing. Get as much money as you can, of course. Be wise that way, but just get rid of it. You know, it's you're not getting any more write off or anything like that. It's just you're wasting opportunity. You
got to
keep that in mind.
Thank you. Mr. Carsmar?
Red boat. Reminds me a lot of the history behind it. But I'm concerned that, well, first of all, the IOC, I think that only applies if they're going to use it as a passenger boat, because they can take six paying passengers now. So does that, I assume that means that Rodoff isn't going to use it as a crew vessel because he wants the IOC?
COI.
I don't know his intent.
Certificate of inspection, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know his intent.
So I guess what I would ask is, well, first of all, I went out and looked at the vessel, and it's got barnacles already on the hull, and you guys just hauled it out and you paid $10,700. I just got the report. I haven't gone through them. But I don't understand why the bottom paint hasn't held up longer than, well, look, and then barnacles, that shouldn't happen. You know, it's only been like 8-9 months. So I guess I would ask, what do we have to keep spending money to keep that boat looking nice? I don't know what barnacles will do on aluminum over time. Cost $7,000 to rewind the generators. I would hope that you guys and the board can go through and say, how much more money do we want to spend to maintain it? Because you've spent a lot to bring it back up to maybe where it's sellable or not. And I looked enough at this, and I'm not sure what that boat's worth. And I would really encourage the board to go get another survey, because the 450, the 490 appraisal, and the market is just out of sync. Something's wrong. And I don't know about giving it away, because it's going to cost us a fortune. But I guess I would ask for the board to be more aggressive in looking at their marketing and looking at the appraisal, and then make the decisions accordingly.
Thank you.
Any other comment? Thank you both for your comments. I think, you know, we're all anxious to move on from the red boat. Would just have to find a path. And that would solve the problem.
This brings up an area.
Red,
is,
white,
is what Ron and Ed have said. The contract with transit agency.
FTA.
Is out of sync with boat values, you know, and can you give a good look at that contract and see if there are any avenues that might be exploited to reconcile the differences between the buyback from FTA, payback from FTA, and the real values of the boat. I realize it's not contract as a contract, as Jim has pointed out, but there may be some relief from the federal sector. At least my experience in government has found that everything's negotiable in politics, but there may be, just take a look at that and see, because there's a substantial variance there, you know, and how do you deal with that? We just like to minimize the cost of the taxpayer, you know.
Yeah, it would be easier to get rid of if we didn't have to make up the difference between what we get for it and the 440 or 470,000 that FTA now thinks we would owe on it.
It's not what you pay for it, it's what you can get for it. And you better get it, what you get for it, and get on with your life, because you're wasting tremendous opportunities here.
Right, but you understand what I meant by that. We have to pay FTA.
Actually, you have to pay FTA. Yeah. just so you know, 2,000 households, $100,000 is...
three times as much port tax than I am park tax. And that doesn't sit very well with me.
Okay.
Okay. Any other public comment or response from Commissioner Staff?
I just have one. I wanted to make visible on June 8th, the Supreme Court issued a decision that affects Open Public Meeting Act, and it was issued in the context of the Port of Vancouver and their lease negotiations and development negotiations with Tesoro. And they really, really narrowed the exception to how they apply the real estate exemption. So in executive session at this time, you're limited only to discussion of the price, even things that affect the price, like the term, you don't have bags here, but you know, those kind of things. That has to be held first as a public discussion, and then you can adjourn into executive session to see how those factors affect price. It's a pretty seismic shift in how that exemption is applied. So we'll be mindful and compliant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that exemption applies only to real estate price, right? It doesn't apply to real property.
Correct.
I mean, personal property. Real property, but not personal property.
Personal property, yeah.
It's lease rates.
It's lease rates. It's buy and sell.
So it could be if you had a contract to lease out land.
Correct.
And then, like we might be doing, and for someone to develop, all the conditions of that would, except for the price, would have to be an open discussion.
That's right.
Like a 75-year turnover and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The creditworthiness, all those things.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to do.
In my personal opinion is that it really shows that the Supreme Court doesn't really understand what courts do and how business transactions work. So hopefully WPPA can help with some legislative action.
So are you saying the discussion on the price on this particular boat is executive session?
No, it never has been. It just applies to real property, not fixtures or art.
So, just as an aside, I've been a little concerned about that too, because sometimes I feel I know too much. I really like to see that book sold.
It's the limitations on what can be done in executive session because of the Open Public Meeting Act and the desire for transparency, and there's only a few narrow exceptions, and the one Carolyn pointed out just got a whole lot narrower than it had been interpreted in the past.
So this was originally to protect people from underbidding other people in sales and property. They would bid up their property if they knew what the port was willing to pay for it, for example. And all the conditions now, that's sacred, but the conditions are not.
Right. It kind of undercuts, that's a great example you raise. It undercuts the ability of the port saying, we want to do an improvement here, and here's the property we would need. You have to say that publicly. The taxpayers are really disadvantaged because they're the ones that are going to be paying that price. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Executive Director's report.
Some of this stuff we've already covered, but let me do a laundry list here just to update the public. Covered Mortgage Project continues to make progress. The contract has been extended for completion no later than December 15th. But we should be well inside of that. But I just wanted to make sure that they had enough time to fully complete this. knowing what the winds of November can be like with large panels of sheet metal. If you go by the office building, you'll see that stairs were erected yesterday up the back side of the office building that will trigger the construction process of the new building. We needed access to upstairs before we could disassemble the front. So you should see quite a bit of changes happening to the office building here in the next 3 to 4 weeks. We did have a setback in our Washington Boulevard Park project. The county's funding for the redo of Washington Boulevard was pulled until 2019. We were scheduled to kind of work together with the county and Port in developing that. The county recognizes that's an issue for us, so through a series of meetings and negotiations, they've agreed to have us move forward on our park development and engineer it in a way that in 2019 they can come in and they will, on their own dime, put in sidewalks and curbs.
So let me see if I think I mentioned this to you, but okay, they're saying the street's here, but it should be here, right? And our park is here. So if we were to do our park to the street level, so no one falls on their face, or you know, then we would have about 18 inches that someone would have to fill in later.
Because we would just grade it. So we'd have 10 feet, it's a 10-foot sidewalk and curb.
Yeah.
So we would have an 18-inch raise, and then we would just grade it down, and we'd probably put some plantings on that grade for erosion. And then they would come in and cut that to the grade and put new sidewalks.
They'd put the sidewalk in and raise and reconcile that with the grade.
So I think it's an elegant solution. I'm meeting with the engineers next week. We have the county engineers and our engineers meeting together to make sure when we do this that they will meet. Mm-hmm. But as you know, RCO has given us till December of next year to complete this park project. So it's of next year, 2018. So my intent is to go out to bid in January of 2018 for this project to be completed in the spring.
Could we do it earlier if we wanted?
We could. We've got an awful lot on our plate right now, and that's why I was thinking, boy, another project. I don't know that we have the capacity right now.
Yeah, and we may have too much. We may have to cut back. But yeah, I just get a little nervous with that RCO grant. It gets so stale. So I'd kind of like to see the money.
Remember the letter I forwarded to you. Yeah. If the legislature doesn't come to a budget in the next 2 days. We don't have an RCO grant anymore.
Well, that's an interesting comment because sometimes the funding for those grants is not the same as general obligation budget from the. In other words, for example, marina improvements comes from the gas tax differential between boat usage and car usage. So some of those funding streams are protected from greedy legislators, so to speak. So I don't know where this one comes from, but it may not be one of these big budget deal negotiations. It may be. I just don't know. I'm not too worried about it, but
I think they're going to come.
They're still collecting taxes, you know. We're still paying them.
Curb grant, as you know, Heartland's coming next month. So the 26th of July, 1 o'clock, Heartland will be in this room to present their findings to the commission. You will have at least 2 weeks to review that before that meeting for the commissioners to make their comments. And they've agreed, they emailed me and agreed that they will have that to you 2 weeks prior to that meeting. So that's moving forward.
I have one concern about that because I hear you telling me Kitsap Transit says there'll be no impact of parking when they put in their ferry route. And I'm interested in a scenario where there is. Because I think that was our experience with the prior ferry stuff. People wanted to park where they could. They all didn't want to park out there at George's Corners. There's also Kiss and Rides. So I kind of think parking is a factor, you know, with the new ferry. And if, even if Kitsap Transit says no, everybody would be glad to ride our buses in. So just a little a thing that I don't want them to think of the ferry as not having some parking impact.
Well, I think that's going to be really interesting on the 7th. Like I said, Casey Harrington, who's the ferry director, will be at the stakeholder meeting. So any one of you would like to show up to the stakeholder meeting to hear their plans. And I think that's a question that the community really needs to put on Kitsap Transit. Are you going to do a parking study?
just think of with the laydown area we've got. It was a weekend ago. The staff had put up some lot full. So that kind of seemed like a future look, huh? Mm-hmm. You know.
4th of July signage, just to keep the commissioners apprised, Sam has ordered 4 large metal signs that will stay on port property in key locations all year long. No fireworks on any port property. We're also putting up 20 additional small signs this week to go throughout the facility that remind citizens no fireworks on port property. So, and we'll have a full crew on staff. We've had a staff meeting yesterday, and we'll have people on, actually, we'll have 2 people on till midnight, because our staff is going to be ferrying the fireworks people out to the barge. Mm-hmm. So Steve will retrieve them after the fireworks are done and bring them in.
So. Mm-hmm. There was that comment that someone wanted to see the park hours on the external of the
right.
gate. Do we?
Right. I talked to Ray about putting that sign so people can read it.
See it as they go by.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last thing is the parade. We are signed up. Commissioner Elliott, I know you won't be able to be in the parade. We are going to take the 4-seater GEM car again. Ray and I will be in the front seats, and Commissioner McIntyre and McClure will be in the back seats.
You want my pirate suit?
So,
I also have a
yeah,
dead...
but I could never do the pirate jargon that you did.
How about the dead cow suit? We did that one year.
They are responsible for candy distribution, so that will happen.
Okay, good.
And then the last thing, I wanted to have a little more information for you, and unfortunately I didn't get it yet. I had a long conversation with Matt Allen, who, if you remember, owns the property adjacent to us, where the ale house is. And he actually had a survey done, and I will get you a copy of that survey. It looks like it's only the retaining wall that's on port property, and that's what he's looking for, either a license or some agreement to keep that. So I will get you a copy of the survey so you can actually see graphically where that 2-foot easement is that he's asking for.
But the agreement says up to 10 feet.
Yeah.
So it's only really 2 feet?
It's only 2 feet.
Okay. And then, Carolyn, you're finding out whether we can do that.
Yeah.
It's not a donation or of some sort if we do that. We have some, you know.
Yeah, how that can be done. Is there any reason why he's scratching that itch now? I mean, it was signed in 1994, I think.
Like I said, if I were a betting guy, I would say he's going to sell that property and wants to clear title.
Hmm.
But I don't know that for a fact. But there is a sense of urgency in his voice.
Huh.
So no, I'll keep you apprised.
And it runs all the way from the corner of the yacht club all the way up
Ohio.
To the corner of the full length. Does he own all 3 of those properties?
Mm-hmm. He owns the whole block.
So that wedge-shaped piece that shows on the plot, mm-hmm. is that ours? You know, it goes up, and then there's a spike that goes...
I don't know what that is.
I've understood that there's an orphan triangle there. You know what I mean by an orphan triangle?
A triangle with orphans in it?
Yeah. occasionally there's a piece of property when different surveys were done at different mm-hmm. times and, you know, different meets and bounds or whatever. There will be a small... oddly shaped parcel, sometimes it's just a nice parallel rectangle, that isn't within the property description of any of the adjoining lots. And so technically there is, nobody holds title to that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how you solve that problem, I don't know, that was above my pay grade, but every once in a while you just run into those, because particularly what I found was that any survey, the closer you got to the water, the more likely it was that any 3 surveyors come up with 5 different lines.
Hmm. Okay. well, let us know. I'm surprised that wasn't reconciled when they redid Central. Is it Central Avenue?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because they really redid that whole road. It seems like this would have been reconciled back then.
Hmm. That's all I have.
What is the status of the fastener or the jointment of the docks for the launch ramp? We said that we had a pressing issue on the, you know, how strong that was, and
right. We do, and it is, again,
that's okay.
No,
you got a lot on your plate.
No, it's we actually scheduled it for last week.
Oh.
But the tribal fishing opened, and I didn't want to start World War III again. So I met mm-hmm. with the tribal okay. council and fishing council, and we agreed that the best time to do it, where there's no recreational and no tribal fishing, is September, the second week in September. So Bob seems to think we're not going to have an issue waiting until the second week in September to do it, and that mm-hmm. way we can keep peace in the neighborhood.
So it's not like it's imminent. And if it breaks apart, so what? We just close the dock and fix it. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Commissioner reports. Mr. Elliott, any?
I went to an interesting lecture, not as a port person, but on Governor Inslee's lean program. And I think there are resources out there that if we were interested in it, we could get into it. Actually, it was in Port Townsend where I heard this. So how you right-size your staff to the work load and the jobs and get rid of practices that are using burning up staff hours that aren't necessary. So it was kind of interesting. There may be some resources there if we want to use it sometime.
I know at one point, I think it was Boeing, would yeah. do lean training for free. A nonprofit that I was with went through their mm-hmm. lean training program and found it very beneficial. And I think it was at no cost.
So if I find any more information, I'll let you know.
I don't have anything to report on. I was at the chamber meeting the other day, but there was no, there was some discussion of the sign. But that was, you know, the information you have is as current as anything that they have. There was a little confusion on their part as to just how much the port was donating towards the sign. But they had an extra $1,000 tucked in there somewhere.
Mr. Witter did that.
Management reserve.
Management reserve. Any other staff comments?
Just a minor commissioner comment is the they're as we speak they're having a 104 working group meeting, so we missed that, but it doesn't affect us too much. It mostly has to do with moving the population.
What is the 104 working group?
It's a group that's been in effect since Commissioner Andreessen to address the traffic issues for downtown Kingston from the ferry traffic.
Made up of
appointees by the commissioner. So basically, in the past, it was the Ferry Advisory Committee, which I kind of represented, and Dave Wetter, who represented the business community, and State Patrol, DOT, Kitsap County Public Works, and Washington State Ferries. And I think we may have had one or two other citizens. This one that's been going on now has got about 20 people there.
And they're just discussing the whole issue of how do we move it? Or
well, they're trying to get back into doing that. They in the past, we've addressed specific issues with regards to traffic management on 104. So it had to do with ferry lot management. You know, how do they use the holding lot? How do you do traffic calming? How do you manage State Patrol when they show up? And how many people show up? And responsiveness to traffic surges, things like that. So it's policies and equipment and cameras. So you, when you go on a car cams, what do you see? Like we don't have a camera that looks up from the toll booths. You know, we only have it further out. So if you go to how much space is available on the ferry, on the Washington State Ferry, that's only the cars that have gone through the toll booth. So if cars are backed up the hill, that the space isn't available. So it's stuff like that.
Okay.
I hope that's helpful. But right now, this is just an organizational meeting, trying to figure out what are the issues we need to take on. They will need the working group when they get into the redesign of State Route 104 to move it over on First Avenue. That they've done a lot of studies, and this biennium they have a $500,000 to do the engineering work. Hmm. So that moves it to the far side of the filling station.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's two things. One in and out.
Yeah. So one's near term, one's long term issues. So they're working on that. doesn't affect the port too much, I don't think. It's traffic out there.
Just Kingston, but not the port.
Right.
Right. Okay. Juanita slipped that into it.
Okay.
So this is the same paper that I sent you yesterday. I did update the income, though. I forgot to fix the Yale Club. KCYC's land.
Excuse me, I what did you say?
The
Yacht Club land.
Yeah. So the Yacht Club lease payment.
That I sent you yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the June rent that they just paid. And we beat them over the head severely for being 3 weeks late with their rent.
Whenever we can.
I just see a disaster there waiting to happen by not enforcing the lease as it's written.
So the percentage for income is 41.67, so anything above is good. Anywhere around is good as well, I think. So of course,
so our costs don't show a seasonal variance as much as our income might show a seasonal variance.
This is a direct 12 month projection.
So this says we'll probably be in the black, but we've got some contingent liabilities we got to crank in there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Any categories that jumped out at you, Juanita, as being unexpected?
Well, since we were talking about the electricity earlier, I'm probably going to fix that so it looks better on my report as far as, because on this report has permanent and transient, the income, and it should we'll have it reflect better next time against the expense. Also, when I was looking at this, you could see the gas sales only shows, in comparison to the budget, it only shows unleaded. So if we add the unleaded and diesel sales, it actually comes to 22.62, which is still under, but it's better than the 10.64 that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the parking income. The way that we put it in the budget, it was just straight parking, which included the everyday parking, the tenant commuter parking, monthly parking, and so
forth. We're going to have a variance with that and with transient mortgage because of extending the covered mortgage construction period through the summer. I don't know how much that will be, but that's something we've got to think about when we talk about end of year condition.
And adding all those together and comparing it to the parking budget, we're at 42.59. So that's.
Yeah, just looking at that. So total parking is looking pretty close to on target. Yeah.
There's a few that stuck out at me as far as income goes, and then expenses we touched base a little bit when we did the financials. The consulting fees, of course, is up because of Heartland, but that's going to be reimbursed. Computer software is a firewall.
You had 6,300 in marina consulting. I thought that was the dredging the dredge things there. So that was the consulting, but actually was going out and measuring the harbor. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The boat launch,
yeah, because we're going to be doing a project there. I'd also, again, pitch for the float being a cost center.
The
because we're getting income now, but we also have the costs against Kingston Express, and if we're going to be charging Kitsap Transit for the usage of that, if we look at that as a cost center.
The Verlaine, you mean?
The Verlaine and the boat we have out there and the ramp and all that sort of stuff, I think is a cost center that's kind of, it's unique, and we got to figure out how we're going to recover some of those costs.
And that I have it categorized as just ferry.
Yeah. What I'm thinking about it as a cost center, okay. That you would take the income we're getting mm-hmm. as well into that cost center. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a cost center of itself, mm-hmm. and then we obviously have some issues with the express. So. You don't have Christmas costs, so I thought we were starting the light program.
We've got down here in
the
little box.
Yeah, $4,194. Down the bottom, highlighted.
Oh, I was thinking about ours. Aren't our guys helping the light people?
They just open the doors.
Yeah, just Ray.
Okay, so they're not really. I thought we made up structures for them and things.
He made a port logo. Steve did, but I don't know that he.
I don't know if he wrote it down under Christmas.
Because we do support that. Yeah. You know, we buy stuff. We mm-hmm. so.
And the last page, the profit and loss by class. This is just for the month of May. You see there are some negative numbers under the totals for the training and education. That's the one where we canceled the check at the last meeting, but it did get paid by credit card, so it will be a bigger jump next month.
So we still haven't figured out how to meter the parking lot lights.
No.
Okay, because that... You know, yeah. Of course, we're in the solstice now, so we're not doing a lot of them. But an equivalent parking lot of the same latitude is typically $500 to $600 a month for lighting a parking lot with the halogen.
With the same type of lights, yeah.
Huh?
With the
well,
lights.
We're converting to.
Yeah. We have three LEDs now.
LEDs, but basically what we had before the conversion a couple weeks ago, the mercury vapor, I think they are. Anyway, so it's. $13 is is a bit low. And then allocation of water costs, because we're watering now, mm-hmm. but we don't have a way of metering that. But there's an issue about sewer costs being linked to watering that I think I'm not too clear on how we allocate utility costs with this. I understand there's limitations, but that should be a big cost driver in terms of the grounds, because we water. I know it costs a lot up in the Village Green to water, and we're no law smaller, so that's a little, I don't quite understand that. And I don't understand our FTEs. We finally broke over one FTE to maintain all our grounds. And that is very low. It's a lot lower than Brownsville. They don't have anywhere near the grounds or quality of maintenance that we have. They've been using 1.5 throughout the winter. So I'm not too sure how that works, but, you know, just some observations. Maybe I can get together with you sometime. I'm trying to better understand this. You know, yeah. But thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
I just want to note one thing, the negative. Well, right in the middle of the page, negative $4,725.60. We decided to move that, which is the picnic tables and benches that we purchased, and put it into capital. That's what
we did. So was the jump up in the labor in the parking lot due to putting in the Ventec enclosure?
I think so.
Because that was quite a bit of. Then you got to figure out how do you do when you rent the crane, and you put in cameras, you put in LED lights, and you trim trees with the same crane. How do you allocate those costs? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Juanita's good. She can do it, though.
Yeah. Okay.
How thin can you slice the salami?
Yeah.
And we did add Marvin and Les. So.
Yeah.
And that's all we are booked this 4th of July. I believe the 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
The Marina
Transit
is all fully booked.
Yes.
With waiting lists.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Did we ever get anywhere with the idea of being able to sublet if some of our regular tenants are gone, that we could accommodate some of that waiting list?
So we have done it. We have done it in the past. It's very difficult, especially late in the afternoon if someone comes in. We can't give them a gate key.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get out, but they can't get back to their boat. When we redo the gates, and I don't know when that's going to be, we're going to put a keypad on there that will be able to give them access. So that's part of the grand scheme, but it hasn't been fully developed, how to get them access when we're not around.
Okay.
This is an aside thing. You know, that email about blocking the views. Well, they mentioned the power lines. I don't think the porch should be in the business of cutting foliage away from power lines. There are power lines all over the town that have wires going through them. But I think there'd be a very significant liability safety issue if we're doing any tree limbing where power lines go through. You know, we're going around town. Almost all the trees are growing to power lines. But just I'd like to mention that. I was very concerned that someone mentioned that because I don't think that's our job.
Ray did call PSE, just so you're aware, and they normally have a Splenda come out to do that. But you're right. There's so many trees that are in power lines that we're going to be low on the list.
But it's risky to be. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, that's a high risk. We shouldn't.
I don't want to be messing around trees that have power lines in them. That's my opinion. Okay.
Okay. That's all you have? Any other staff comments?
I have in your agenda packets is the schedule of public meetings and events for July 2017 for your review. There's a lot on there, lots going on. So that is there for your review, and any changes that you recommend, you can contact me via email.
There's only one ferry advisory committee a month. You have two.
Oh.
We meet the second Tuesday.
Got it. Thank
Unless State Ferry says I need an answer, I need it now, and then we have special meetings.
All right.
And I only go because I'm a ferry advisory committee member, not because I'm a port person. So you can track it if you'd like, but it's not related to the port. It doesn't have to do with that stuff.
I did see that the WPPA Commissioner Seminar is the same day as the Kitsap All Ports meeting.
Right. I was just going to ask about that. I doubt that. I suspect that date will get changed.
I'd appreciate, since I missed the meeting, but it was only my own negligence for not checking emails the night before. But this doesn't have a Tuesday meeting the day before we have. So do we have a policy here? Do we want to establish a policy, or should we assume that we'll always have Tuesday meetings, hell or high water?
I think we should establish a policy
of
not having a meeting the day before another meeting.
Okay. So we should, that'll be the default. And
okay. You
will send a carrier
unless
pigeon.
There is some need, we call a special meeting.
Okay. Because you don't have it scheduled here.
Right.
But I'm just trying to cover myself for having missed one of these scheduling. It's an excuse. Right. You know, blame someone else if you can.
So other than all of the exciting things going on in July, we are official. Well, not official. We're going to do our first launch this weekend of... We have the tools and the technology. We're doing dockside check-in now. So we have created the system. It's the way that it flows, that it's set up, really neat. For this particular iteration of the dockside check-in that we've gone with, it's a very minimal infrastructure change, if any. We're using existing technology. Charges as far as percentages for card processing on the docks are very minimal. It's really user friendly. We've already programmed the register so that it's just touchscreen. It's easy to track. Possible to integrate with our existing accounting software, so that'll make it much easier for Juanita to track those monies and what they get linked to. And there's also with the way that we've got the workflow set up, there's going to be very minimal policy edits or updates as far as the cash handling policy. It's still going to maintain that there's no cash handling on the docks. Anybody that wants to pay by cash will be referred to the moorage office. So it'll be quick and easy to get that updated and in for review. So that's exciting.
And our camp host or our marina host, when we get that started, will be able to use the dockside check-in with the credit card?
No, the intention for the marina host is just to be those eyes and ears and let us know if we've got activity in the marina. If they see somebody, pulling into a slip without a reservation, they can direct them to the self-registration kiosk at the marina office. But they'll be instructed not to take any cash or payment of any kind on the dock because they will not be trained in the port's cash handling policy. And we don't want to violate those rules. So, anybody else can. It's that easy. And other than that, I'm going to be decking out the gem car on the 3rd. I'm probably going to, go gonzo with glitter just before closing and stay a little late and just. You're going to be able to see it from space. It's going to be great.
Smoke machine, too.
Oh, it's going to be good. I'm doing well. It's going to be a surprise.
Is there a theme?
There's a theme given by the 4th of July committee. It's Independence Day, the Kingston Way. And I couldn't figure out how to fit the spaceship on the gem car and make you all look like Jeff Goldblum. I didn't have time. So we've gone a different direction. It might be prettier, though.
So to embellish on that dockside check-in, this week we had a video crew in from Pacific Northwest Boater, and they did our video for us. And they travel all the marinas throughout the Pacific Northwest and have never seen a marina that's going to do what we're proposing to do.
You mean the dockside check-in?
Yeah. So this will be on our website. We will encourage people to call when they're 5 minutes out. We will have someone there waiting at the dock to get their lines, help them tie up, have an iPad there and say we'd like to take payment. We'll take payment right there from them. They can sit right there on their boat and do all of this. And Darren O'Brien, the owner of Pacific Northwest Boating, says he doesn't know of any marina in the state or in Puget Sound that actually offers that service.
Cool.
Sam was a star. She was featured, and I think it's going to be a great video. They had drone footages and everything else, so we should see here in the next 30 days.
So we'll be able to get some shots of the sailing school as well.
We did.
Good. Were the kids there?
We had kids out.
Oh, great. I understand they need all the exposure they can get. Yeah, good.
Rita took care of us.
Good. Any other staff comments? Okay. We don't have an executive session on the agenda, so I assume we don't have
any executives
for one. So, any last minute comments, public comments? Mr. Karsmar.
I'd like to talk about parking. I don't think that Kitsap Transit feels that they're responsible to do a traffic or parking study. I've talked to them, and I don't see where the county is terribly interested in the parking. They are doing a traffic study and everything, and when I look at the potential impact of the parking with the POFs, which are now, by the way, over 200 passenger boats, not the 150 that they talked about, I would hope that the Port of Kingston, with their economic development and their charter, takes a real serious look at maybe leading the study for parking. And where it's going to, you guys have the biggest parking lot now, and I'm afraid that the ball's just going to drop through every little organization, and come next July, if that ever happens, in 2018, when the ferry's supposed to start, that we're going to be faced with something that we look back and say, geez, here's what we should have done. And I really think the port ought to be the lead on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Ed?
I have to disagree with him, because I'm in the parking business and the mortgage business. And if there's no parking, the port's going to make a heck of a lot more money because you just raise the rates. That means Lon and I can start renting out parking spaces in our place too. And I know Dave Wetter's got a lot up here that's almost empty, and there's lots all over town of parking that are almost empty. I don't see a problem. They just go private. And know, I think the parking will take care of itself by the dollars involved. And when you get full, you raise the rate. You can't say, oh, we're depriving voters of a chance to voting new voters to be able to vote. We're talking about parking, which is a different story completely. It's an economic engine. If they're getting 12, 14, 15 bucks a day over at on Bainbridge, why aren't we getting it here? And then maybe we could lower the port tax and raise the parks tax, and we could have more parks here.
See, you're closer to the third than I am, so you can charge more.
100 feet.
Well, come here when Heartland debriefs, and
we'll hear
all about that.
26th of July, Heartland will have their presentation hopefully that day.
But virtually anything we do on our property, will any development, will demand parking. So they have to look at that as well. You can't build a project without having parking.
Without factoring that in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so is there anything more for the good of the order?
Safe travel, Jim.
Thank you.
And safe travels to you, too.
Thank you. Yeah. And happy Fourth.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I'll second. And we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
I think Friday Harbor has a